I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. We've been studying the biblical interpretation of something that's going to be taking place here shortly. I believe it's going to be shortly, because I believe that the rapture of the church is going to be it's going to take place before what we've been studying happens. We're going to be caught out of here. That's those of us who are saved, those of us who are Christians. If you've trusted Jesus as Savior, you're going to be taken up with Him in the air. You're going to go with Him. And the Bible says that because of this, we're to teach this. And because we teach this, this is to comfort one another, to help us to understand that we're not going to go through the tribulation period, that tribulation period that we've been studying about. Things have taken place in the past. Things will take place in the future before the tribulation begins. And we saw last time how that the tribulation would start. It would start with peace. And the Antichrist will come and he'll take credit for solving the problems of the world. People will believe it. And then later on we see how that this peace is taken away and there will be war. And we stopped the last time by stating that there would be people saved during the tribulation period. We saw, first of all, in Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 through 8, that there is going to be 144,000, a minimum of 144,000 who are saved, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. And I believe there's going to be more than that of the Jews saved, of course. And then I read the verse, Revelation 7, 9. It says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Well, I said last time that I would tell you who this was, that according to the Word of God, and I believe if you just read that verse, you'll understand a great multitude coming from everywhere. But Revelation 7:13 says, gives us the answer, and it says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me," now this is John speaking, "he said unto me," and that's unto John, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of the Lamb. And these people are saved through His blood. These are people from every nation. Will there be people saved during the tribulation? Yes, there will. Jews and Gentiles, people of all nations, will be saved during that time. How are they saved? Through the blood of the Lamb. Now, I encourage you not to wait till the tribulation comes along, because, you know, that's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. That's going to be a time that's never been before, and you don't want to go through that. You need to get saved today. And therefore, when you get saved, you'll be going with me and others to meet the Lord in the air, and this is before the tribulation starts. Don't count on going into the tribulation and getting saved. Well, I believe it may be possible for people going into the tribulation who have heard the Word of God to be saved. Why? Well, we live in the church age, and some call this the dispensation of grace. But I say that no matter what dispensation a person lives in, God saves the same way. People are saved by His grace through His blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. God will refuse no one who comes to Him faith-believing in our risen Lord. Well, some will be sent a strong delusion to believe a lie during the tribulation period, and not necessarily only to those who heard the plan of salvation before the tribulation. And of course, many refuse the Lord today, as many will do in the tribulation. Well, I want you to note this, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's taken, when it's taken in context, as speaking of the tribulation period, It's not speaking of a time before the rapture of the church. I believe it's speaking of all those who refuse to be saved through the blood of Jesus. Sent a strong delusion to believe a lie. Well, notice this, if you would, that those who receive the mark of the beast and worship him will not be saved. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Will there be people saved during the tribulation? I believe so. Will there be people who do not get saved? Yes. The Bible is plain. Those who receive the mark of the beast, those who follow the beast, will not be saved. Well, we've spoken of several things now, and I spoke how the tribulation will begin, and we saw how that there would be a covenant signed with Israel. And this is how the tribulation begins. The prince of Daniel 9:26, I mentioned that before, and if you haven't read that, you need to read Daniel 9:26. The prince of this, of Daniel 9:26, will make a peace treaty or covenant with Israel, and we've talked about that. And in Daniel chapter 9, in verse 27, it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." In other words, 7 years. "And in the midst of the week," this is the middle of the 7 years, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." And we continue reading in the Word of God. And once again, I believe the Bible is the best commentary about itself. And if we keep reading, we find answers. And in Revelation 6 and verse 2, we've read this, and it says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." Well, Revelation 6 and verse 2, I remind you, this is a bow with no arrows, indicates a peaceful beginning. This, to me, represents the covenant, a covenant. The Judeo-Christian definition of the covenant is to admit somebody into full membership of a religious body or community. And in Matthew 24:15, you read about something concerning this. We'll read that in just a moment. But when the covenant is made, not only is the Antichrist making an agreement with the Jews, it should be understood that the Jews are making an agreement with the Antichrist. In essence, the Jews have welcomed him into their society as one of them. This action by the Jews opens the door for the Antichrist to gain full access, privileges, and admittance into all their religious ceremonies. And he, this is the Antichrist, is able to set to be involved in the actual temple proceedings of sacrifices and so forth. Matthew 24:15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," this is the Antichrist, "spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." Now the prophecy of standing in the holy place marks the middle of the tribulation. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the second part of that verse says, "And in the midst of the week," in the middle of the 7 years, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination." You see, by the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist has already had access to the temple for 3.5 years. The door of access to the temple was opened by the covenant the Jews had previously signed with the Antichrist. So, by the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist already had, will have, full privilege to be in the temple. Well, the covenant, of course, will be accepted by Israel. And why will Israel sign a covenant or a peace treaty with the Antichrist? And I mentioned this before early on in our study. I believe the covenant will come after the first battle of Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog 1 will take place just before the tribulation starts. And I believe just as there were two world wars, 1 and 2, this first battle of Gog and Magog should be considered as number 1. The second battle of Gog and Magog will be at the end of the millennium, according to Revelation chapter 20. Now you read about Gog and Magog 1 in Ezekiel 38, chapter 39 and verse 9, and Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2. Well, I believe that the battle of Gog and Magog 1 happens just before the tribulation starts. And you can read about this in Ezekiel 39 verses 1 through 9. Well, the Antichrist will possibly take credit for defeating those who come against Israel in the battle of Gog and Magog 1. What better timing and a better way to gain the confidence of Israel than for the Antichrist to take the credit for defeating those who come against Israel in the first battle of Gog and Magog? Well, we know that it is the Lord who defeats Israel's enemies as they come to destroy Israel in Ezekiel 39 verses 1 through 8. Let's read that. Ezekiel 39, 1 through 8. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of the right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. You say, well, I thought the Antichrist was going to get credit for this. He will. You see, when we read the Word of God, we have to understand that God has written to us in letting us know the full measure of what's going to take place. God eventually will get credit for defeating Gog and Magog. It's coming to pass. It's going to happen. And God will receive the glory and honor. He will be the one who receives the glory and honor for defeating Gog and Magog, the battle of Gog and Magog. Next time we'll pick up here and we'll speak of the door that will be opened for the Antichrist to make peace covenant with Israel after claiming victory for Gog and Magog.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.